Whoop, tap, tap, a dip, dip, whip, bop, tap, a tap, tap. Gold Mary in the bag and tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. See, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Oh, I gotta hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bone, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad. Herb man, herb, herb man.
And good afternoon, good afternoon. This is Dr. Theodore Watkins, and welcome to another... This is Dr. Watkins. Welcome to another program of To Your Health. We're excited to be with you today. And we have another very, very interesting and I believe very, very important program for you today. You know, we often talk about the impact of our diet, the kinds of foods that we eat on our health. But we, on our physical health, but we seldom really talk about the impact on our mental health. And nutrition can have a profound impact on our mental health. And as we're going to see today, it is just as important and perhaps even more important that we look at this. You know, I often talk to my patients about before we can really help them from a physical perspective, we have to first be able to get them from a mental, emotional perspective in order to be able to make appropriate lifestyle changes. And so I've asked a special guest to come on, and I'm going to ask our trusty assistant, Frank, if he would introduce our guest for us today.
Good afternoon, Doc, and good afternoon, audience. Our special guest, she really is special. Dr. Abiba Fakade, and she holds a PhD in neuropsychology and an MA in cognitive development psychology from Howard. She's trained in biological and psychological and leading edge energy sciences. She teaches at several universities and has done so for 25 years. She's also a researcher, Doc, at the National Institute of Mental Health, Brain Disorder Branch, and at St. Eve's campus in Washington. Her specialties include master addiction counselor, neuro-linguistic program practitioner, quantum touch practitioner. I want to know about that for sure. I want to know about all of it. And she trains health professionals in how traumatic experiences affect health and mental well-being, and how to treat patients to rewire their brains using a holistic method, Doc, called Tehuajiro I hope I didn't butcher that too bad. And she's founded and directs Tewahedo Healing Education and Research Center, or HER Center. And they've got a website too, and I'll let her announce that.
Well, we're excited, you know, and as you can see, she is quite able to discuss this. And but we're going to start off with nutrition. We're going to probably have to have her back 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
to really look at some of the areas that our listening audience really need. But today we're going to start off with something basic. You know, when we think of food, Doc, we don't generally think of it impacting our mental, emotional state. But you say that it does.
Yes. First, thank you for having me today, Dr. Watkins. And as you said, it is a very important topic, not just it's the field that I am in, but the mind. And the psyche and the mindset and our spirit, our thoughts do govern our physical body, as you know. But in science, we've been just focusing only on the things that are visible, that we can quantify, just only the physical aspect of us. But I believe, just to let the listeners know, when you introduced me, there were too many things, but I did study at NIH for that was just for schizophrenia and doing my dissertation. But beyond that, what I came learned to realize that not just the physical body is affected by what we eat. As you know, you are expert and a pioneer in this field, how diet and how nutrition can affect our liver, our kidneys, our metabolism in general, our heart. We can even talk to some extent to the physical body, the physical aspect of the brain, how that can be affected briefly when it comes to Alzheimer's and those kind of things. But we don't focus or connect that the mental health not only is affected by what we think, that is because primarily that is where disruption comes, how we feel, but also what we feed. What I'm saying is the body needs to be fed physical material nutrients, the same way the mind needs to be fed with good thoughts and good ideas and good feelings, positive thoughts and so forth, instead of negative thoughts. And that's what psychology also start focusing. And the physical area focuses on the physical impact on nutrition, on the metabolism of the body. And psychologists start just looking at how our thoughts and our feelings and the non-physical aspect of us affect us. But there I'm from just practice and from observing clients and people that I work with, there I see a high correlation and to some extent comorbidity that people who are in substance use disorder, people who are affected by depression, depressive disorders, or anxiety, and these are the major areas, or OCD, there is a high correlation that their diet, their nutrients are not optimum, at least to say the least, but they're usually, it's like another factor that contributes either in the inducing illness or worsening or increasing the mental.
You did,
so,
you did something very interesting there in your introduction. You talked about the physical brain, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But you also then talked about that the thought brain, the energy component of it. You know, we can easily measure blood flow. We can measure oxygen consumption. We can do those kinds of things. But how do you measure thought?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That's deep. I you know, well, I've never thought about it that way. You know,
we avoid it.
How do you quantify that? You know?
Yeah.
But yet we know that our thoughts have a great impact, a tremendous impact on our whole physical body, mm-hmm. and on our brain, on even the genetics of the brain, the DNA of the
yes.
brain is impacted by our thoughts.
Yes.
All right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So, go ahead.
Yes. In fact, it's, let me just, in my understanding, you know, we talk about holistic approach, the body, mind, the spirit. And this has been going on. But what it seems lacking is bringing these three components, what makes us who we are. You know, what are we made of? So we know we're made of the, what we will be connecting later on, the nutrients themselves. We are a physical body in the way that we see, but we have mind, our thoughts. That's where the thoughts will be categorized, thoughts and feelings and emotions, things that seemingly not have a physical, a concrete, tangible location kind of thing. And then we have also way beyond these two, the body and the mind, that unifies and becomes the creative life force within that individual and within the universe. And that's with the body, mind, spirit. So understanding that we are these three things, but in a unified form, not just compartmentalized, but in a unified one entity. So the anything that we do to the physical body is going to affect the other two. If what we do with the mind will affect the physical body. That was what you were stating, how our thoughts can actually can cause a physical reaction, not necessarily doing something, let's say, not necessarily engaging in a behavior that would cause a physical eating, let's say, junk food or drinking and smoking. We know there's direct connection to the body, to the cells being damaged. Equally, if people are consuming negative thoughts about themselves and fear and stress, chronic stress, and continue to do that to reject themselves. These are ideas. They're just thinking of it. The same way as the physical chemicals affect the body, the organs, the same way it will be affecting our body, the thoughts as well. But go ahead.
I routinely send my patients to get blood drawn to look at what's going on in the body. I routinely will send patients for x-rays or CAT scans or things like that to assess their physical health. But considering how much we now see the mental is having, I need to be sending my patients out to have their thoughts analyzed. To get a readout of their thoughts, because their thoughts are controlling their behavior.
Yes, absolutely.
All right?
And yes.
Their behavior is determining whether or not they're diabetic or hypertensive or whether they have cancer, they have a stroke. I mean, this thing is it's amazing. I wasn't thinking of going here when we invited you for a guest, but you have my brain.
Thank you.
Running at 300 miles an hour.
Good.
That we have to start looking differently at this thing called mental health or mind. You know.
Yes.
This is tremendous.
Yes. You know, just to make a point to add to what you were saying, how do we measure thoughts? You know, the benefit of technology sometimes, even though there are a lot of side effects to our health, but where we are now in the science of thoughts or consciousness, or we've come to understand that these behaviors or this phenomenon can be actually measured and in their frequency. So they are a lot of research showing the frequency of when we engage in negative thoughts, in fear or in doubt or in not accepting ourselves, in a place of rejection, those kind of negative thoughts or being unloved, so forth, there is corresponding to actual brain frequency, areas of brain that are showing these activities. But there is also energy, you know, ultimately, when the three, even though I say body, mind, spirit, by spirit, you know, people can take a different take on that. But ultimately, it is that essence that makes us who we are. Mm. So it's the true essence that is similar to when we say energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It is the ultimate you. So the three of them have different expression. Like you said, you know, we can't measure spirit, we can't measure energy. And this was 50, maybe 100 years ago. So every science was something that that has to be quantified, something that needs to be quantifiable, measured and observed to the, you know, to what tools we have. But it seems now that many studies also are doing it. The different vibration, because ultimately we are reduced, well, not in a reductionist way, but we are energy. Energy in a form of body, energy in a form of mind, energy in our ultimate spirit or ultimate, not limited with our body's bondage or limited physical boundary. Time and space bounds our physicality, but the others are not. So we are energy, and these vibrations seem to be giving to give different frequency. And this is actually when Frank was introducing this quantum energy and quantum science that we are coming to understand. This energy, these frequencies are not something outside, out there. It is the frequency that we produce, the frequency that we interact with. So because that's what we are ultimately, as you know, when we talk about the brain or the food that we will be addressing about, it is ultimately we are electrical and chemical being. That is how we communicate. So this is why later on, now we are understanding the food that is broken down to be the nutrient to the body has to be the best in order to have optimum health and wellness.
I've often told my patients that it's the chemistry of the mind that determines whether or not you're depressed or anxious. And if we can impact the chemistry, and I use things like L-tryptophan, which forms L-serotonin, which forms L-dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter. So that's a chemical thing, something that we can easily measure. Well, I won't say easily measure, but can be measured. But ultimately, as you just said, the nutrition is not just giving off chemical, it's also giving off energy. When we go back and to study our chemistry, our biochemistry, we've learned that it's also that energy that mm-hmm. is produced that makes a big difference. So we're going to come back and we're going to have to deal with that at some point. But today our real focus is on this thing we call nutrition. All right. This thing we call nutrition. And is there good nutrition? Is there bad nutrition when it comes to our thoughts, when it comes to our emotions, whether or not we're depressed or anxious, even whether or not we have schizophrenia? You know, what does nutrition and diet have to do with that?
With mental health, yeah.
With our mental health,
yes. Yeah. Well, there are many strong research going on the last 10 years or so to see in two ways that the nutrition, just the food, the diet that we consume, if it has any impact on mental health. And two way, one, they're looking at even as a preventive to having, I'll see what I mean by good food. But one would be for preventive purpose, and lack of it has also caused the disorders. So there are, and this is the third component, is people who were on medication of these major psychological disorders, or like this depression and so forth, when they are on the right path of nutrition, when their nutrition is changed, they actually were able to be off of their medication, the traditional allopathic medication, and they were as good as if they were on medication. So
I remember the first patient that I treated that was a schizophrenic. I mean, he was stone crazy, you mm-hmm. know, and he looked schizophrenic, you mm-hmm. know, on a lot of medications and so forth. And over time, we became actually very good friends, and he would come in. He wanted to get well, you know, and for him, wellness included the getting off of medications.
Yeah.
So, of course, I didn't snatch him off his meds because he was schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did, I focused in on his goals, his aspirations, his talents, his interests, and I focused in on his diet. I focused in on exercise, what kinds of things he read, what he listened to, and so forth. And over a few months, one day I told him, I said, you know, man, you don't even look crazy anymore. Mm-hmm. His whole demeanor changed. His physical changed. His thought processes changed.
Yes.
And we were able to actually get him off medication and keep him off medication with a change in his diet and his lifestyle. And so that was so helpful to me. I don't see that often because generally patients don't come to me for those reasons, but he came and I tell people I hate to lose. So I really delved into it and it made a difference in terms of how he felt. So what kinds of foods will make you feel bad?
Yeah. So the other component is the correlation, like, you know, which one comes first is one thing, but we see
the chicken or the egg.
Yes, we see a lot of people with even the schizophrenics, their diet is poor diet, and smoking, and you know, those things go along to most of them. clients or patients who have depression, there is a high level of a refined kind of food because it's a vicious cycle. That's sugar. What they think
refined
it would be.
High sugar.
Power. And so what I, the way I see about what happened to the food, I think you know very well about nutrition, and I'm not a nutritionist, but just the very common sense and common observation that we have from our clients and from research, it's not the it is the elements, because we work with addiction and with substance use disorder. So I see a similar thing that is going on with food. So it is not the food itself, but what the food has become is similar to the drugs and to the behaviors that we consider addictive. So what was common along all these food, like you said, was refined sugar, refined flour, and mostly fast food. Those type of that are not whole, not foods that are not whole, foods that are away from their natural, away from their nature, and they were changed by design. And the food, changed the food to become addictive, so it can be taken over and over. So that was what made my interest with food, and it was a similar manipulation that the food supplies or the food industry has created. It's just making it, designing it, taking the nutrients that are essential to our brain, to our body's function, especially to our brain, so it can learn to be addicted to that food, to that item within the food, so that we can go over and over and eat it over and over. So it creates even what we consider food addiction. For instance, it's not really the food addiction. It is the additives in the food, which is sugar. And sugar, the hidden sugar in it, the hidden fat in it, these are really, really equally, as I was saying earlier, how thoughts can disturb your mind and cause you depression or anxiety or any other psychological disorder. This food by themselves can also cause disruptive psychological state. So they can, as a cause themselves. So especially food that are, empty in their
empty calories, empty of nutrition.
Yes,
the number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. We're talking about food, nutrition, and mental health, emotional health. Give us a call with your questions or comments. So. If these bad foods seem to always be there with people who have addictive behavior, who are depressed, who have mood illnesses, what happens when you change their diets? When you move them from eating those empty calories to eating whole foods, yes. Are we able to see any change in their behaviors, in their thinking?
Yes. And most the research that I mentioned that are going on, I think it's mostly in New Zealand and Canada. They are changing their nutrition to as a treatment. So they've seen significant, yes. They've seen significant change. What I see with my clients, or what I educate, because I believe teaching would be the healing in itself, is it's not only just changing their diet. If they're still consuming negative thoughts and fear and low self-esteem and, you know, ruminating on negative thoughts, if they continue to do that, it's not going to work. Or if they're not connected to their soul.
My question, though, Doc, is their diets actually contributing to those negative thoughts? You know,
yes.
So that in essence, their diets can even be the origin of their problem. Just
yes.
like we know that fatty foods produces diabetes. We know heavy animal-based proteins work the kidneys hard and lead to kidney failure. Can these bad processed foods, sugary foods, etc., actually lead to bad thoughts? To lead
yes,
to
they can actually literally, you mentioned fat, for instance. If it is not the good fat, if we are not providing like the omega-3s and the omega-6 and the healthy fat, it's not only the thought. The thought is a product of the neurons themselves being damaged, because the fat in the brain is not the same as the fat in our abdomen, in our body, because that itself is the structure for the nervous system. So the very structure will fall apart. So communication from one area of the brain to the other body is slow. And whether it's depression or anxiety will result. So one is the bad fat, especially depriving it, the omega 3 type of, because it is structural, you know, myelin sheath.
You talk about omega 3. Someone says if you look at a walnut, the walnut looks like the brain.
Yes.
And it has those good omega 3 fatty acids that actually helps with the brain.
Absolutely. So, there are so many plant based, the walnut is one of them, the big one. So if this is not even expensive, so that actually keeps the brain and the neurons everywhere. The other thing is, I think another important, sugar is the major culprit. And I ask people, what is the most addictive and toxic substance? People will say, you know, heroin, this, but sugar, white sugar is one. And the other, not having whole food, we cannot create those neurochemicals that you were talking about earlier, Dr. Watkins, the neurotransmitters that we need, serotonin that will regulate our mood, dopamine that will motivate us and make us feel good, are going to be affected if we don't have the microbiome. If we're not eating fiber, if we're not eating whole food, these chemicals are produced in the gut. So they cannot even, we will not. So even these three is enough.
It's amazing. I remember, we're going to go to our callers in just a moment, but I remember when I first left surgery and went into alternative medicine, my first year, I had this patient. She was a writer, a very, very brilliant woman, but she was she and her husband were separated, living in the same house, and he was dating. And so she was messed up. She was very depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I gave her high potency B complex and L-tryptophan. Mm-hmm. She took them before she left the office. Mm-hmm. She lived about an hour away. Mm-hmm. When she got home, she called me up and she was very upset. Dr. Watkins, are you trying to trick me? I said, no, ma'am, what's wrong? I took that stuff before I left your office. As I drove home, I started feeling better. By the time I got home, my depression was gone. You trying to trick me? I said, mercy. Mm-hmm. Just giving those nutrients in such a short period of time produced a tremendous impact on this lady and on thousands of others. 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go to our phones. Just call her. You're on the line.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Watkins and everyone. I would have three simple questions. Number one, if she would spell her name, please. Number two, if she helps with nutrition. And number three, a website if she has one, please.
All right, Doc.
Okay. We have website, healingeducations.com.
Would you repeat that again, please?
Healingeducations.com.
Thank you.
Educations, plural.
Yeah, plural. Mm-hmm. Healingeducations.com. My name is Ababa Fakade. Okay. The nutrition, as I was talking about, we see it on as a component to the other treatment that we use or the other education that we use, whether it's for addiction or mental health. It is an additional component because we have to have the whole a broad spectrum, but not specifically that we do, because I'm not a nutritionist. But we do see the connection greatly, and we cannot make people feel better. You can have a talk therapy and you go and drink a whole lot of bottle of Coca-Cola and junk food, it is not going to work. So we see it as a component in our treatment plan, and especially in educating people.
Okay, thank you very much. And your name is on the website as well, right?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you kindly. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Her name is Dr. Ababa
Fakade.
Dr. Ababa Fakade. And, you know, she shouldn't be so pretty to be so smart. But God has really blessed this young lady, and I've known her for many, many years. Yes. And we've been threatening to come together and bring her on the phone, on the radio. But when we talked the other day, I said, we got to do it now. We got to do it. It's so important. And so I'm so happy that we can do this. 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hi. Yes, I would like to share with you that I am a 77-year-old woman that who passed 10 years has been helping my cousin, 65, that at one time he was genius in physics and he was accepted at MIT and went into the depression, went into addiction to drugs, student loan and all sorts of things. His work record, he couldn't hold down a job long enough, agitated, smoked cigarette, a half a cigarette at a time with two puffs now that he's, and it's chaos. It's trying to help this individual. And I just don't know where to start. And I feel so sad for him. That he's such a brilliant man. Like this. I wish there would be a remedy of monitoring these people. He self-medicates. He speaks a regular sleep pattern, pacing sometimes, not eating sometimes, losing weight. So it's a mess. I wish this mental button would help people because there's a lot of them out there that need help. Thank you for listening to my story.
Thank you so much. And what you just said was a mouthful, and I'm going to ask Doc to comment. Because you talked about his diet, you talked about his behaviors, you talked about sleep.
Yeah.
You didn't mention exercise, but I dare say there's probably a lack of exercise.
Yeah.
And so we have to approach this from a holistic perspective, Doc. Mm-hmm. So the trauma that you, I know you deal a lot with the impact of trauma, emotional trauma, on a person. This trauma can have an impact. But if a person is nutritionally sound, are they able to handle the trauma more effectively than a person who's not?
That's right.
Yes. Thank you for the question. And I really, I'm sorry. And you are a caring family member, and that itself is helpful until the person is ready to change. But because people are in that vicious cycle, the diet is poor, the sleeping is poor, and then, like you said, he's trying to self-medicate himself, what makes it difficult for you and for people who are not in his place? It's not something we can just push and say, just shake it off and get up and do something, because that's not where he is. Yes. So the support that you're doing is good. So it's little by little, like harm reduction. So if we start even with his nutrition, so that can start giving him the energy and the motivation to seek help. Proper help. If he can cut down the cigarette, if you know, not ask him to stop. These things are for people, they think that is the only way they can function. Yes. And then it becomes a pattern. Yes. It becomes addictive. The neural pathways take that form. So the brain thinks, I need to get this over and over. So it has been through time. So we want to make sure we reduce everything gradually, one thing at a time. But Dr. Watkins, like you said, nutrition is very essential, but it has to be a whole approach for the person. There is a diet issue. There is a sleep issue. So there is a mental health issue. Yes. So someone who can give, I know you for decades, and one of the things for you as a physician, what I learned and what I have observed with you, even though they come for a physical illness to you, you talk to them about their mind, about their stress, about their spirituality, and how prayer can help them. That is what psychologists and mental health professionals need to do too. So we can have that whole thing. So, I don't lose hope, because the brain that causes all this mess is also capable of restoring itself when it gets the right thing. The brain is its nature is to change, but it needs to be provided the right thing.
There is hope. Mm-hmm. There is hope. And one of the things that I have found is that people actually want to be well.
Yes.
People want to be well. It may seem as if based on their behaviors, they don't. But if you really take the time to listen, they want to be well. And then you have to, you know, thank you so much for this. We obviously we're going to have you back, Doc. But let's go quickly back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
They don't. But if you really...
Yes, caller, you're on the line. Want to cut off your radio, please, if you have it on. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Hi, Dr. Watson. I'm calling. I heard you talk about walnuts, and I was also told that we should cut fat out of our diet, like oils, olive oil, avocado oil, walnuts. So is that not true? Is that doing more harm when we do those things?
So you said two things. Once you said walnuts, and then you said oils. Okay, that's different. If you can get oils from walnuts, you can get oils from avocado, you can get oils from different nuts. I personally believe that you should eat the walnut. You should eat the avocado as opposed to taking the oil, because the oil becomes very concentrated, and it could, you know, I remember it became very, it hit me very hard when I learned that it's not the bad fat or the good fat that causes heart attacks. The biggest issue is total fat. So mm-hmm. even if you have too much good fat, you know, mm-hmm. if you have too much yes. walnuts, it's bad, you know?
Yes.
Walnuts are good, but walnuts must be in moderation. We talked about the 8 laws of health. One of the laws of health, last week, we mentioned it. One mm-hmm. of the laws of health is temperance, balance. You can't have too mm-hmm. much. You can't have too little. And so I think that's a critical issue.
Doc, thank you so much.
Am I off base?
No, you're absolutely right. A handful of walnut is enough, but sometimes we just keep on doing it. So, yeah, balance is the key, and the body knows how to regulate.
Yes, it does. 202-588-0893. I think we may have time for one or two more callers. Let's go back to the phone. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Okay, I'm here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm calling about, so far the conversation has been very interesting, but you have not at all, you've mentioned that you was able to give somebody nutrition and things like that. You have not mentioned any kind of foods we can regularly eat or the kind of nutrition that you gave this person that was completely transformed from depression.
Okay.
Are you there? Oh, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, so, I can hear you.
So let's talk about that. And we have mentioned some, but we'll be more specific. Fruits. Well, I'm gonna let the doctor talk.
Well, okay. you know exactly. I mean, these are the first of all. Thank you for the question. And in fact, there is too many good foods to list. So the principle is better. The principle is natural. What is natural? Meaning
okay.
they are not processed from the place to you.
Okay. I eat apple every day. What other fruits?
And that's very good. Apple. So fruits like what, Dr. Watkins start.
Yeah. Well, what can I eat? Because I do have depression.
If you listen, we're trying to give you the answer, please.
She just mentioned one thing so far.
You keep interrupting so far.
Okay.
Okay, so you can use whole grains, okay, uh-huh. whatever it is that you eat, if it's your preference, rice or anything, in its whole form. For the omega-3, we were just talking about the nuts and the walnut, because that's what you need. And greens, all greens.
Daily, I eat all of that.
That's good. So all greens. And, you know, I'm not saying be vegetarian or plant-based.
Vegetarian. Vitamins?
Yes. If you are vegetarian or plant-based, a vegan, if you could do that, that is perfect.
How about vitamins? Vitamins.
The body will make the vitamins that you need. First, have a whole food in a food form. Then, if there are some individuals for some reason that you are lacking because of the soil, some supplements, that's up to, you know, you, each individual may have a certain need. But other than that, eating the whole food, unprocessed, cooked at home, and also with a positive energy and positive attitude, that's a good place to start. But for each individual, you know, what's lacking to you must be with your nutritionist so they can analyze and evaluate you and tell you what.
Okay. Very good.
But even that, you have to have the right nutritionist, the ones that believe in whole foods. You notice that Doc talked about the unprocessed. So, and just so you know, I don't tell my patients what to eat. I teach them principles of how to do it. If you teach a man how to fish, he can survive because he knows, if he understands the principles. You want to take foods that are not processed. That's mm-hmm. the bottom line.
Exactly. Yes.
And that's been grown in soil, you know, that's not denatured.
Yes.
That's not been altered, genetically altered, and so forth. Those are the principles that you want. And if you get those principles, you can go to the next level.
And Doc, I would go so far as to say whole food, plant-based. Yeah,
yes.
get rid of the meat-based products. See,
Doc is nice, and she said, I won't say, but I will say, I recommend vegan.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Whole grain, and Doc is that way. If you look at her skin, you'll see it, because you can tell just by looking. But we're gonna quickly go and try to get this last caller in. Yes, caller, you got 1 minute. Question or comment?
Yes. Good afternoon, Dr. Watkins. How are you and your guest today?
Great.
Excellent, Dr. Watkins. I have a problem. I'm basically allergic to everything that I'm supposed to eat: avocados, walnuts, almonds, apples. Allergic to everything.
You probably need to get in to see me. we need to find out why you're allergic.
Yeah.
You know, and find out what specific foods you can eat. It's amazing. Most people only eat a few foods.
Yeah. And also, to add to the caller, it's important. Sometimes when the healthy food are allergic, we want to look to other things. This is also the psychological component. What emotion, what psychology is associated with it? So it would be something to look into that. That would be.
Okay, well, I need to make an appointment with you, Dr. Watkins, as soon as possible. Because I can't eat anything.
Yeah. And I understand that. And that's very, very frustrating. Very frustrating.
I'm even allergic to chicken.
So we need to find out what else is going on and try to get that taken care of. Doc, look here. This has been really, really outstanding.
Thank you, Dr. Watkins.
Thank you. And you know, if I was greedy, I would book you for the next 4 weeks, you know, because there's so many things that we need to tap into. But if God gives me strength, and Brother Frank, we need to get her rescheduled and start looking at some of these other things. I really am interested in looking at how to quantify this thing. I mean, because, you know, we lack research, we lack data, and what you're saying is the data is out there. Now we got to train people, we got to train physicians, health systems to utilize this so that we can do the things that we need to do. This is Dr. Ted Watkins. The program is To Your Health. My colleague and sidekick is Frank Smith, and our special guest today is Dr.
Fakata.
and Dr. Ababa Fakata. And we're so excited to have her. What's your website one more time, Doc?
The website is healingeducations.com. And thank you, Dr. Watkins, to have me today.
Is there a number that someone could reach you at?
Yes. You mean the office number is 703-778-4635.
All right.
Healingeducations.com.
All right. This is Dr. Ted Watkins. The program is To Your Health. We're going to see you again next week.
Thank you.
Tap, tap, a tap, tap, wham, bop, tap, a tap, tap. Gold Mary in the bag and tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Me, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now.
Whoa, I got ugly clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bone, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the airman, come see me. Oh, I'm the airman, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Next month will mark 2 years since Ahmaud Arbery, a 25-year-old black man in Georgia, was hunted down and murdered by three white men after jogging in his own neighborhood. Earlier this month, on January 7th, two of the perpetrators, Gregory and Travis McMichael, a father and son, were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, plus 20 years, whereas the other perpetrator, William Bryan, was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 30 years. The men were also indicted on charges of federal hate crimes. However, today, the McMichaels entered a plea deal on federal hate crime charges in order to serve their time in a safer, less crowded prison. This comes a week before the father and son's scheduled trial on February 7th. Ahmaud Arbery's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, called the deal disrespectful and said, and I quote, "The U.S. Department of Justice, or DOJ, has gone behind my back to offer the men who murdered my son a deal to make their time in prison easier for them to serve." She added, "I have made it clear at every possible moment that I do not agree to offer these men a plea deal of any kind. I have been completely betrayed by the DOJ lawyers," end quote. S. Lee Merritt, who was the attorney for Ahmaud Arbery's family, compared federal prison to, quote, "a country club," and said that transferring the McMichaels to such a facility is, in essence, rewarding them for their hate crime. Now, here's your COVID-19 update. Today, it was announced that the Food and Drug Administration has granted full approval to Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine, 5 months after full approval was granted to Pfizer's vaccine last August. The decision for Moderna's full approval was supported by real-world evidence from the more than 200 million doses administered in the United States since the FDA gave emergency authorization for the shot in December of 2020. The FDA's full approval for the Moderna vaccine means that the agency has completed the same rigorous, time-consuming review of Moderna's shot as has been done for dozens of other long-established vaccines. As a note, Johnson & Johnson has not yet applied for full approval of its COVID-19 vaccine. Here are the latest numbers. In the United States, there are more than 75.5 million confirmed COVID infections, over 907,000 known deaths, but at least 249.8 million people have been vaccinated. Worldwide, there are more than 376.4 million confirmed COVID infections, over 5.6 million known deaths, but at least 4.8 billion people have been vaccinated. Lastly, to your city news. In New York City, fans and followers are mourning the loss of 30-year-old Chesley Christ, who was a correspondent for the TV entertainment news show Extra. Christ, who was also a lawyer in Charlotte, North Carolina, made history by becoming the first attorney to ever win the Miss USA pageant, doing so in 2019. Chesley Christ reportedly jumped to her death from her apartment in Manhattan on Sunday morning. The official Twitter account for Miss Universe said that Chesley Christ was one of the brightest, warmest, and kindest people they ever had the pleasure of knowing. Ironically, Chesley Christ's last Instagram post stated, "May this day bring you rest and peace." Now that is what loved ones are wishing for her. If you or someone you know are struggling with suicidal thoughts, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. Again, that's 800-273-8255. Now to the D.C. area. Today, Bowie State University in Maryland and Howard University in Washington, D.C. were among six HBCUs to receive bomb threats this morning, disrupting campus operations and launching police investigations. To protect students and staff, Bowie State University held virtual classes and had employees work virtually as well. Today's threats mark the second time this month that a number of HBCUs received bomb threats. On January 5th of this year, at least three HBCUs, including Howard University, received such